Listen to the good news according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
This is from the parable chapter, the chapter of the kingdom of God in Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I'd like to set a scene for you that you can probably imagine pretty well. It's a warm summer evening at the home of the Martin family. And it's warm in more ways than one. Mrs. Martin and her teenage daughter are in a heated conversation. "You be quiet and listen to me," shouts mother. "Why should I?" retorts the daughter. "You never listen to me." Just a few miles away, Mr. Martin isn't faring much better. The church council meeting is over, and he sits fuming in his car. "That idiot," he mutters, "he never heard a word I said." The troubles of the Martin family are not all that unusual, are they? Most of us have learned by now through sad experience that many people don't listen very well. We'd all much rather talk. And if we aren't listening to one another, as C.S. Lewis once said, it's not surprising that after a while we won't be listening to God either. Our Lord Jesus once told a parable about listening. I'd like you to hear the parable again. You might say this is a third run through. You heard it with the children, heard it in the reading. Listen to it once more. Really listen. He told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much depth of soil, and immediately they sprang up, since the soil was shallow. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, Let him hear.
Now, this story is usually called the parable of the sower. That's not a bad title, but I think there's a better one. I think it should be called the parable of the soils. The parable presents, as you heard, four different kinds of soil. What we're really talking about, of course, is four different kinds of listeners. And this is going to get uncomfortable right away because it's about all of us. The question is, what sort of listener am I? Or more to the point, what sort of listener are you? Jesus himself explained the parable, so it's easier for us preachers to hang on to what's true. He said, some seeds fell along the path and birds came and devoured them, and then he explained what it meant. A path, you know, is just dirt that's been hardened by foot traffic. Maybe mine or yours. We walk, 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 and it gets harder and harder. That describes some people in whom a kind of hardness develops. They hear, but the words bounce off. They just bounce off, like kernels of corn bouncing on an asphalt highway. There was a certain businessman who finally came alive in his faith after years of deadness. He went into the pastor's office one day and confessed to the pastor, "For the past 10 years, I haven't heard a word you said." Telling the truth. The question is, are you that way or am I? We'd say probably not most of the time. We're not that hardened, are we? I would guess rather that most of us are selectively hard of hearing. You know what I mean? The way we husbands sometimes are when our wives tell us things. Selectively deaf. We hear most of what's said, most of the message, either from the wife or in the church. Maybe 90% of it. But we tune out when it comes to that intolerable 10%. What things at church don't you like hearing? For some of us, the unbearable subject is money. Oh, here we go again. For others, it's the biblical teaching about marriage, the relation between husband and wife, or the biblical teaching about divorce. Ooh, it's too close to home. I can remember conducting a wedding years ago in which I preached about the headship of the husband, biblical idea, but one of the women in the wedding party was just visibly squirming all over the place through the whole message. What about you? Is there some subject that may come up in church where you find yourself saying, "Oh, not that. Not now. I don't want to hear it." The frightening truth is that the hardened listener actually isn't alone in the pew. Jesus explains that such a person has company. To such a person, the evil one comes, sits down right next to him, and snatches away what's sown in his heart. I'll take that. The unpleasant truth is that the devil is a regular attender here at Christ the Vine and every other church I know of. He waits to pluck away what cannot be or will not be understood. Are you a hardened listener? It's a fair question. Second kind is what we might call a shallow listener. Other seeds, Jesus says, fell on rocky ground where they had not much depth of soil, and they sprang up since the soil was shallow, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Which prompts the question, just how deeply is God's word rooted in me? How far down does it go? I guess you can examine that by asking what happens to your piety when the going gets tough. And it does get tough, doesn't it? When the sun of life beats down on your head, and when the smiles fade away, and the plans fall through, and the tempers start to flare, what happens then? What happens if some tragedy comes? And come they will. I remember some years ago when I was a pastor in Washington State up in Squim. One of the fellows that we met with one day, this pastor, was sailing along well until his wife was killed in an auto accident. Totally unexpected, totally sudden, random event. We met as pastors, and he said to us, "I need you to pray for me because it feels like I'm losing my faith." A lot of us know what that means. And the truth is, it doesn't usually take nearly so much for most of us to wilt. The insurance company can deny a claim. That may do it. Somebody at church may offend us with a cutting remark. The doctor may give us bad news. And then more bad news. And that may be all it takes to push us over the line. You know, it's real easy to say that we believe when we're sitting here in this lovely place next to each other and the music lifts us up and carries us along and, things are so pleasant. But then when the props are removed and Sunday fades away into Monday and Tuesday, and the smiling faces are replaced with nagging pains and persistent temptations, rootless people wilt. How deeply rooted are you? Are you a shallow listener? Third variety is what we could call a suffocated listener. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. I have a garden by my house, and maybe some of you have a garden also, and you know very well what happens in gardens. You know about weeds. If you have a garden, you know about weeds. Give them an inch, and they'll take it over. All mine, they say. They'll steal the food and the water from your vegetables or your flowers. And in fact, unless you declare war on weeds, unless you uproot them violently and persistently, your garden may be unproductive. It's the same with your heart, God's garden. Our Lord says we need to be constantly weeding our gardens, constantly plucking away and pulling out those pleasures and worries that crowd in and take over, or else the faith that began so promisingly will become void and fruitless. Do you hear at Christ the Vine somewhere on the walls have pictures of confirmation classes? Anywhere here? Some churches do. I know some of the churches I've served have long rows of the pictures of the pastors and their classes, and the white robe kids, you know. And I found a while back that when I looked at some of those older pictures of my classes, I would get sad. I'd get sad because I knew what had happened to some of the people in those classes. I knew what kind of attrition had set in and how many of them had drifted away. I knew some of the individual stories. The faith that was so bright on that confirmation morning, that sunny morning years ago, had been suffocated for some. You might say choked by thorns. What are those pesky thorns anyway? As far as I can tell, they're basically good things. Riches and pleasures of life and so on, the kind of things that we don't say, oh no, can't do that. Things like jobs and sports that require, well, honestly, lots of time. Or a boat to fix up, or a hobby to pursue, or a club to attend, or you can add to the list. And we might say, yes, Lord, I still have my faith. But, oh, you know, I'm really busy right now. I got all this stuff. I'll get back to you. But in the end, there doesn't seem to be much time for God or for church or for prayers or for the serious matters of considering our lives or the lives of others. Even now, may I suggest, it's happening right now at this moment to some of you. Even during the sermon. I know what happens because I've been on that end of the pew sometimes. You sit in church, but your mind has gone walking elsewhere. What's for lunch now? Did I put that in the oven on time? Let's see, what are we going to be doing tomorrow? And I need to go to such and such. All of this happens during the liturgy. At least it happens to me. Maybe it happens to some of you. We've checked out mentally, already thinking about something else. So do we listen to God's word with only a half an ear or divided attention? Are we distracted by our overcrowded agendas? Are we suffocated listeners? Thankfully, and aren't you glad for the last part of the parable, there are some fruitful listeners mentioned. Some seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The best listening, you know, is the kind that bears fruit, that has results in action. Most of you young people know what your parents mean when they say, "Young man, did you hear what I said?" They're not wanting you to say, "Yes, I heard." They're wanting you to do something about it, to obey. "I want to see some action," is what the parents are saying. Now and then I'll hear people say on the way out of church, and I'm sure Pastor Chris hears this too, "Oh, that was a good sermon, Pastor." And I'm always tempted to say, "We'll see about that." Because you see, a good sermon is one that bears fruit, finally, in the lives of the people who listened. Otherwise, what good was it? What good? The measure of a sermon or a garden is in the harvest that follows. So we might say that good listening is fruitful listening. And one of the finest of those fruits, I believe, is the willingness to listen to other people around us. Very simple. Listening to the cranky boss, listening to the whiny child, listening to the irritating neighbor or the person who goes on and on. Yeah, the world is full of people like that, and we're called to listen. Here's the question that matters in all of this. What sort of listeners are we? Are we fruitful? Are we bringing forth lots of good fruit? Or are we, at least sometimes, suffocated, shallow, hardened? Shall we not admit in the course of this sermon that many of us would have to say, "Lord, I haven't always been very good soil." In fact, some of your best work has gone to waste on me, has gone right over my head or right through my head or something. I don't remember it. If so, take heart. Take heart. For though we are sometimes poor soil, God is still a master gardener. Jesus is still the sower, and he knows what to do with the soil. Master gardeners know that they can rototill hard soil and break it up. They can add lime to sweeten that soil. They can pull the weeds that spring up. Master gardeners have lots of ways to manage. So does God. He plows and harrows and disks us to break up our hard, stubborn hearts. Jesus himself watered this plot called my heart. He watered it with his blood abundantly, fertilized me with his mercy and grace. You too. He doesn't give up easily in his effort to make us productive. Maybe you remember another parable Jesus told about a worker who complained to the boss that there was a fruit tree that wasn't growing, it wasn't producing like it should. "Should I cut it down?" The boss said, "No, don't do that yet. Give it another year. Another year. Dig around it. Fertilize it. Give another chance." We are the trees. This is the year of grace. This is our time. This morning, the master gardener has his eye on each of us individually. He listens carefully to what's in our hearts and knows it very well. If we are hardened, he will take his divine hoe and loosen us up, even though it may be a painful trial that has to do it. If we are shallow, he will add his own divine soil enhancers, maybe sending someone in particular who will take sweet time and listen patiently to us. You've had people do that for you, and so have I. What a blessing. If we're overgrown with a busy schedule, he'll remind us again of how precious, how crucial is his word. I liked what the fellow said to the children this morning, taking time in Sunday school to hear again, listen again, to give us the courage to pare down our calendars, to say no to some things so that we can say yes to him. In fact, I'm confident that he's doing that very thing right now. Right now, in the midst of this word, this sermon, as he does every Sunday here and everywhere else. For it happens, the good seed is planted. Once more, it's scattered generously into our ears and hearts. So I say, hear it well. For the Savior has come. He loves us, friend. He forgives us our poor listening. And as we hear his word and take it to heart, he will make something beautiful begin to sprout and grow. I'll ask you once more. Are you listening? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord God, you have graciously planted your word in our hearts. Grant that we may be good soil. Grant that we may bring forth good fruit, that we may act. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.